Reading to you from 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 25th verse. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 47 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, and 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I want you to jot these dates down. The 11th of August, the quartet, my wife and I will be at Olney Springs. August the 23rd, we'll be in Lyman, Colorado. September the 8th, Los Animas. Now, be sure and pray for all these services. Friends, listen, you know what I do when I get up there in front of those men and women? I say, did you know, friends, that there's a whole lot of people in Denver, in the surrounding areas, who are praying for these services today. And I know that many of you do faithfully pray. And that's why we're seeing such success, is because of you people praying and because of the wonderful grace of God. Well, listen, I'll be with you for 29 minutes. Kick off your slipper, sit back and relax. Boil you a glass of iced tea, or maybe lemonade, or this one lady, she always has to have her milk, which is all right. Nothing wrong with it. Okay, talk to you later. Did you ever wonder why troubles come in the life of a Christian? We read in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's why, you know, Paul, he had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it was sure painful. And he sought the Lord 3 times for a healing. And the Lord didn't heal him because he said he'd become strong. And you know something? That's why I tell all of our friends who are so strong into healing. No, I believe in healing. Don't say I don't, because I've been healed myself. But you see, God does not... Excuse me, he does not always heal those who call upon him. Now, I know those healers say it's not so. All I can go by is what the Bible says. And friends, you know, there wouldn't be so many confused people in the world if they would just read the Bible for themselves and forget some preacher who don't know what he's talking about, getting up there and making claims and stuff. Paul certainly knew what he was talking about because he suffered a lot for the cause of Christ. I have known Christians who have thought, when they repented of their sins and accepted Christ as their personal Savior, everything will come up roses. Come on, dear friends, get into the real world. He does not promise us that we won't have heartaches. He does not promise us that we won't get sick. He does not promise us that we won't have financial problems. But one thing he does promise, lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. So tonight, dear friend, if you're going through a lot of problems, it just seems like the whole world has crashed in around you, just remember what he said. Lo, I am with you unto the end of the world. God doesn't lie, friends. I know preachers sometimes get confused and make statements, but that's one statement I won't back down from, because I've been through many heartaches as a Christian and many tears. But he didn't lie. He said, I'm with you all the time. You see, God sometimes allows troubles to come in the life of a Christian because he wants us to grow strong. Now, I've told you this before. When I was in the Navy, back in 1942. I was just a 17-year-old kid. And I was reading one day in my blue jacket manual, and it asked this question, are you discouraged? Are you kind of down in the dumps? And I thought, boy, this book was written for me. And it said, you know, all these disciplinary things and all the things that they're teaching you now, which seems so really mean, someday will save your life. Boy, I found out a few months later that was true. Because our ship was going to Guadalcanal with a load of supplies, and we're getting ready to pick up a bunch of Marines to take to the island invasion of Okinawa. And out there in the middle of the night, something happened. Our ship stopped. I mean, the engines stopped. Not motors, engines. Well, there we are, sitting ducks. We had no escorts, no tin cans, no nothing. We were all alone, and it was a moonlight night. Well, when you're dead in the water, a Japanese submarine could blast you out of the water so quick you didn't know what hit you. But you know, they sent general quarters. In less than 5 minutes from the time general quarters were sounded, every man was out of his bunk, was on his battle station, was on his guns, and was ready for action. Well, had we not learned discipline, then we would have never, never been able to do that. That's why these problems come in our life, to make us stronger soldiers. You think I wasn't kind of concerned when I was laying in that hospital with this heart? You bet your life I was concerned. But somehow, some way, I knew that there was a reason for it. Well, it gave me more determination to go to the prisons. And friends, if you think I'm kidding, you're all wrong. I remember that night in the quartet, remembers, my wife remembers it too. I was in a wheelchair, I was on oxygen, my heart was hurting so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. And we went down to the prison and I thought, my stars, how am I going to do? They wheeled me in there to the service. The quartet got up and sang their heart out. And when it came time for me to preach, they pushed me up to the microphone. And I looked out there and I said, men, I'm not supposed to be here tonight. My doctor would have had a hissy if he knew I was here. But I said, the reason I'm here, men, is because I love you. And because I want to tell you about my Savior and how he saved my soul. And I began to cry, and I said, you know, men, I don't want to give up my prison ministry because I love it so much. Did you know those men started praying for me? And I tell you, all these prisoners, when my wife had her serious operation, those prisoners prayed for her. Oh, I tell you, I appreciate that. I wonder sometimes if we Christians, if we are concerned. Did you ever have someone walk up to you and say, hey, be sure and pray for me. I got a problem. Yeah, I'll pray for them. You forget it. Boy, that's dangerous. Trouble comes sometimes as a test of our faith. We must realize not all troubles are in the nature of chastisement. 1 Peter 1:7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, it takes a lot of heat to melt gold. Job's faith was demonstrated and proved by the way he bore afflictions. Remember in Job 1:21, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. In all of his Job's sin not, nor charged God foolishly. Job is a man who loved the Lord and served him faithfully. Old Satan came upon the scene and told the Lord, the only reason Job loves you is because you have made him very, very wealthy. And Satan said, take all this away from him and he'll curse you. Satan, how wrong you were. That is because you're a liar and you never have told the truth. Oh, listen, after losing all his children and animals by death, even Job's wife suggests that Job curse God and die. But you know, because Job was faithful to the Lord, God restored back to Job double of what he had before. Let that be a lesson to us. Let's talk about chastisement. Chastisement is not a punitive, but a remedial and corrective. David said, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word, thou art a good teacher, and teach me thy statutes." Trouble comes in the life of a Christian as a purifier of faith, a developer of a Christian. I recall while attending Bible college in Riverside, California, and I had given up to die with a lung tumor. I was in bed 3 months with no income. My family was broke. Rent was due. It really looked like it was all over for the Moe family. One night, my wife came into the bedroom and said, "Cecil, Cecil, did you know that this was in the Bible?" I said, "What is it?" She said, "My God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus." And I said, "Yes." Then she said, "Do you believe it?" And I said, "I certainly do." I also knew that Jesus was going to heal me and put me back to good health. And praise God, he did. He taught my wife a wonderful lesson that God does not lie. He taught me a lesson, too. Trials may serve to purify and refine just as a fire refines precious metals. Job 23:10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held its steps. His way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary for food." Amen, Job. You are a special person. In many years of experience in radio broadcasting, I've learned that letters from listeners that express the greatest spiritual understanding come from sick people, especially invalids who have gone through refining fires of affliction. I got the sweetest, sweetest letter from a lady, a listener who's 93 years young. She's in a rest home. She's not happy. Of course she's not. But she thanks the Lord for this radio broadcast because she said it encourages her faith when she hears preachers talking about this wonderful Jesus and how the Lord is changing men and women in prison. Boy, that just touched my heart. Of course, I get touched real easy. Well, you remember when I had those two heart problems? I was sick, and I prayed that God would raise me up and help me get back into prison to share Jesus. He did it, and I thank him from the bottom of my heart. Strong Christian character is not developed in a spiritual hothouse, but out in the world of trials and temptations and human difficulties. Just remember that. Trouble comes that we may be privileged to obtain eternal rewards. Great rewards should be given to those who face temptations and difficulties and overcome them for Christ's sake. James 1:12, "Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, but when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Are you listening, Ken Jackson? All the suffering that you've been through, and because of your faithfulness, he has a great big old fat reward for you someday. And don't you forget it, because you know Greek, you know I'm not lying. One day, friends, we will doubtless thank the Lord for every difficulty that he has let us come our way. For we shall see that he enabled us to get rich in eternal things by means of testing that we come through. 2 Corinthians 4:17. "For our affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Father, thank you for the trials that many of us have had to go through. Lord, I pray that it has been made us better soldiers of the cross. In Jesus' name. Friends, are you bitter tonight for some of the things you had to endure for the cause of Christ? Are any of you mad at God tonight? Come back to Jesus, ask him to forgive you, your troubled heart, and he will. You know, he says, he that cometh unto me, I shall in no wise cast out. Well, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you peace and rest. Beloved, I ask you tonight, you're a Christian. You say, I'm born again. But Cecil, I have become bitter because I've been going through a lot. Oh, beloved, my heart goes out to you. But I do know that God cares. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Tonight, if you're mad at God, and I was at one time, would you pray this? Oh, God, please forgive me. I made a mistake. Satan has tricked me. But, Lord, I'm sorry for the things I've did or the things I've thought. Lord, come back and give me the joy of my salvation in Jesus' name. If you're not born again and you'd like to trust Jesus, here's a simple prayer, but it's a powerful prayer. If the Holy Spirit of God is drawing your heart tonight, please pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, come into my heart tonight and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I don't go care where you go to church. I won't sit down right and ask you for money. I won't use your name on the air. I am concerned where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you spiritually, please call me. I'm waiting for your call. 303-471-8534. God bless you. Back in 1979, I believe it was, Bill wrote a song, and, you know, I've played this song quite a bit because I really, really like it because it really goes along with the theology that the Lord has taught me since day one. It is more blessed to give than receive, and friends, this song that Bill wrote bears this out. You listen now. What I have, what I get is what he gave me away is what I get when I get to heaven.
Standing all alone before me on the throne, on the grand and glorious day, in the book beside my name, all there be that I can claim will be the thing that I gave away. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the things that I gave away. Stop to help a man who needs a helping hand. He had fallen by the way. It is things that I gave away, things that I gave away in his name, for a friend took the time to heal and pray. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away. A robe for his back, some bread placed in his hand, and a cup to drive his thirst away. More than I have given thee, thou hast given back to me everything that I gave. Time to kneel and pray. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave away. If he places anything at all in my cup, will be the thing that I gave.
Our mailing address is Mo Evangelistic Association, 9621 South Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, 80129. Dear friends, if you'd like to help us with our prison ministry, we go thousands of miles a year, and the quartet and I and my wife, and believe me, friends, we can't do it alone. So I'm just saying, for those who can give, do. For those who can't pray, both of them are very, very important. Prayer is so important. And a lot of our dear people, elderly people, have just enough to survive. But boy, you can pray because you know how to talk to the Lord. That's all I'm going to say. I know that you'll stand with us on this. Now let's listen to the finest quartet in the whole United States, My New Grace Quartet.
Thank you.
Well, friends, for the past 29 minutes, you've been listening to Evangelist Cecil Moe. I hope and pray that we said something that encouraged you. Friends, be sure and continue to pray for our ministry. Pray for my wife as she tries to sell real estate, because that's important in our life. We have to eat just like anybody else. So you pray that God will help her, would you? And pray for all these services that we're going to next 3 weeks. And pray for my health, that I'll keep on keeping on. Oh, I love this radio broadcast. I love you, my listeners. And I just pray that someday when we get on the other side of glory, we'll get us a big cloud in by our mansion, get us a big glass of iced tea, and sit down with Jesus and talk about it. Until this time next Sunday night, be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you, be healed real good.